We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going kind of slow through this. You know, and I've preached on 1 Thessalonians, you know, since I've been here. But reading through it, it's just things caught me, you know, in praying and reading, going through it, our verses today caught me. I don't know about y'all, but I don't hear much about fake news anymore. You know, and maybe it's because I don't really listen to the news anymore, because you don't know whether to believe them or not. I read what's going on, and then, you know, a lot of times when I read something, I have to go investigate, do my own research to find if it's true or not. I read an article this week about an app called Blinkist. The article said, now listen to this, people with limited knowledge on a given topic significantly overestimate their understanding. Y'all think that's funny? But what does that sound like? Huh? People with limited knowledge on a given topic significantly overestimate their understanding. That sounds like Christians and the Bible. Huh? Does that sound, you know, it's also said the average person does not have time to dedicate to research. Key word, dedicate. So those people dedicate time to the app. 15 minutes to listen in 15-minute increments about a given subject so they can learn about that subject. 15-minute increments. I'm going to say something about that, more about that. How many people actually dedicate time to God daily? I'm not going to embarrass any of y'all. How many people bring a Bible to church anymore? You know, there was that one time everybody that walked into a church had a Bible with them. The Bible, the most important book in the world, the measuring stick of all truth. The Bible, the Word of God, the most important book in the world. The title of the day, the most important book in the world. Our passage today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of mere men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which also is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all people, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so they may be saved, with the result that they always reach the limit of their sins, but wrath has come upon them fully. Word of God for the people of God. Now, I don't know how many of y'all ever saw one of these, Good News for Modern Man. Anybody remember them? Huh? You know, I mean, this was one of my first Bibles. Now, this is not mine, you know, okay? I tried to find one. I think they're out of print now. Every one I found was used, but guess where I found this one? In the church library. You know who it is? Whose it is? Let's see. This book is dedicated to Rabel United Methodist Church in memory of Mrs. Carrie Hatch Gladney. And it's got Mrs. J.M. Hatch. She was your grandmother? Okay, so this was dedicated in your... Dedicate it in your mother's name?
In my grandmother's name, Carrie Hatch.
Oh, that's your grandmother?
Yes.
This was, you know, it's in plain, it's in simple English. I mean, these things, you know, everybody used to carry these things. You know, and most times when somebody first becomes a Christian, when somebody accepts Jesus as their Savior, what do? They go out and buy a Bible. It's the most important book in the world. Do any of y'all have one of those family Bibles at home? One of those big old things? You know it takes two people to pick it up and move it? Huh? You know, when you want to open it, you know, it takes two people just to open the thing. You know, does anybody still have one of those? You know, does anybody still record your family tree in those things? Yeah? Do you have one?
Yes.
I have my grandfather's that sat on his coffee table for as long as I can remember. You know, it has all of our family tree in it. It is said the Bible today is available to 97% of the world, translated into that many languages. But even at that 97% of the world, that leaves about 200 million people that do not have any scripture translation. People were getting there slowly but surely. The Bible. It is the best-selling book of all times, but it's probably the least read and the least applied. But yet, it has influenced people. It has influenced the world throughout history. Martin Luther said, the Bible has feet and it runs to me. It has hands and lays hold of me. Reading the Bible started a reformation in Luther's life and a reformation in the world. President Abraham Lincoln said the Bible is one of the best gifts from God. At one time, the Bible was used to teach in public schools. Try doing that today. Some places will. But values, morality, truth, they were all taught from the scriptures. Ivy League schools on the East Coast, they were developed to bring the word of God to people. Whoa, how times have changed. You know, in general, I'll ask y'all this. Show of hands, how many people read books? All the choir. No, I don't mean choir books. Huh? Yeah, it's, you know, very few people read books anymore, especially, you know, one you can hold in your hands. You know, I was surprised, you know, I Googled, you know, I know there's a Books a Million in Monroe, but I don't remember the last time I saw a Barnes & Noble. Supposedly, there are 600 Barnes & Noble stores throughout the United States. 250 Books a Million. You know, that more people, you know, I'm guilty of it. I remember the last time. You know, last time I went in Books a Million, well, the first time I went in Books a Million in Monroe, went in the coffee shop, get coffee, you know, I was going to sit and read a book and drink coffee, you know, and they told me I had to pay to connect to the Wi-Fi. Guess what I did? Yeah, got up and walked out and said bye. I hadn't been back. The Word of God. The words of God. Paul preached to the Thessalonian people for 3 weeks. Not as words of men, but the Word of God. And in 3 weeks, they heard it, they accepted it, and it changed their lives. And this letter is about a year after that. And they didn't have the Bible. Paul did not bring them the Bible as we have it. He had the Old Testament, what he brought to them. And from that, he told them from the Old Testament about the promises of God in Christ, about the coming Messiah. That the printed bound Bible was not available to the world until sometime in the 1400s. And then only the elite could bring it, could afford it. So these young believers in Thessalonica, all they had was the Old Testament. And they heard and they believed. Verse 13 again. For this cause also, this is from King James. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. Paul's saying, when you heard the word of God. You know, in some circles, even that is debated today. Many people say, yes, it's the word of God, but, and they have to throw that but in there, men wrote it. So it's the word of God, but yeah, it's man's word too. That how do we know, you know, that they men wrote exactly what God wanted them to? There's the word of God, yes, but it's the word of man. What do you think? Some people think it's good literature, but nothing else. Written by smart men, but that's all. You know, and I say, do you think smart men would write a book over time that apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, condemning themselves? I don't think so. Jesus told us heaven and earth will pass away, but what? His words never will. Not one tittle, not one thing, not one period, nothing will pass away until all is fulfilled. Jesus loved the Bible. He had the Old Testament. You cannot take Jesus seriously unless you take the Bible seriously. Jesus quoted the Bible over 60 times in the New Testament. Over 2,000 times in one manner or another, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. After all this time, centuries and centuries being passed along, recorded, translated, the words have not changed. Over 5,000 copies of the New Testament have been found. And that's not even counting the Dead Sea Scrolls. And nothing has changed. The Gospel of John, copy found, dated just 30 years after Jesus. Almost word for what we have today. There's very few pieces of literature that can say the same thing. The Odyssey by Homer, the earliest copy found, was 2,000 years after it was written. And yet nobody disputes any part of it. And again, the Bible at one time used to teach history. The Bible is not only about God, and no archaeological find has ever disputed anything that the Bible said. The pond of Bethesda, where, you know, the water whirls, you know, and if you get in it, you were healed with the porches. People were saying, oh, it didn't exist, that the Bible doesn't know anything. You know, it's a lie. And then what happened? Archaeologists one day, digging around, found it. They found the pool, the five colonnades, the porches, and people were like, oh, gosh, we need to rethink what we were saying. 66 books written by over 40 authors, over 1,400 years from three different continents, different backgrounds, fishermen, shepherds, kings. Some knew each other and some obviously did not. But yet all wrote about controversial subjects. They wrote no contradictions. They wrote with clarity and they wrote with unity. How could that be other than God? Fulfilled prophecy events spoken by God before they happened. And when they happened, people were, hey, God told us about this. Book of Isaiah. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my plan will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Practical question of the day. What is your final authority in life? Your final authority in life. What do you rely on? When things go wrong, when you need something to lean on, is it the Word of God, the truth of God? The words of God to speak to the people of God through the Spirit of God. Principles to apply them in a time of crisis. That when the dust settles, what or who is your source of comfort and strength, encouragement and truth? Billy Graham said he had a Bible open in the woods one night. He knelt down by a stump, told God, God, here it is, your word. I accept it from Genesis to Revelation. He was wrestling, that he was wrestling with the Word of God. But it said after that night, he never looked back. A saying of Billy Graham, in every sermon he preached, he would always, I don't know how many times he would say, and the Bible says, he depended on the Word of God. Verse 13 again, receive and welcome. Some say receive and receive. The second receive or welcome, depending on your translation, is used of people welcoming God, like receiving and sharing his salvation, or means receive with ready reception what is offered. In Scripture, most translations have the same word. King James, it's Paul saying you received the Word of God, then you received it. But in the original language, to do a word study, it's two different words used. Many or most, if not all people in churches, receive the Word of God. But the thing is, most people in churches are passive receivers. They don't really welcome it into their lives and their hearts and apply it in their life on a daily basis. They may go to Sunday school. They may even go to Bible study. They go to church and they listen to everything that's said. But like the average person sits down and watches TV, they watch TV to put their brain in neutral, to sit down, relax, and to be entertained. And the average Christian does the same thing in church. They come in, put their brain in neutral, and they just want to be entertained. Sad to say. Like all those stories that they hear, they say, yeah, it makes me feel good. But do I really have to read them? Do I really have to do those things? To receive the Word of God into your life, your heart, and your mind, and act on it. There are a lot of Bible translations out there, and some, just a few, it's a credibility thing. And I don't remember who it is that came out with it a few years ago. I think it's the CEB, the Common English Bible. When I first picked it up, I read about one page of it, put it down. I've never picked another one up. I don't know, why do we need another Bible translation? But I will tell y'all this. I have not picked this one up, and I doubt I will. Y'all, the Bible is being translated into Klingon. Star Trek Klingon. You know, I think the Book of Mark has already been translated. You know, yeah, for Klingon. You know, for all the Klingonese out there. But the Word of God has power when you receive it into your life, your heart, and your mind. There are many Bible translations out there. But the thing is, people don't read them. Most of them are okay. If people would just find one that they're happy with, to pick it up and read it. It is estimated that only 25% of Christians read the Bible daily. Dedicate time. 25%. The book of Hebrews. For the word of God is living, it is active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Remember the Blinkist app? People dedicate 15 minutes a day. If you read the Bible at pulpit speed, that is reading it out loud where it can be heard, it is said that it takes you 71 hours to read from Genesis to Revelation. That averages out to 12 minutes a day. Not 15, 12 minutes a day. Dedicated time. Paul said, study to show yourself approved. Do not be satisfied with someone else reading it to you, telling you about it. Read it yourself. Verse 13 from the Amplified Bible. We also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believed, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. Supernatural power in, of those of faith. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews. From 2 Timothy, the word of God will enable man of God to be complete, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Our first grandchild is graduating from high school Tuesday. He's not going to college, or at least not yet. An education, I told him, an education will prepare you for a particular field. You may or may not pursue that field. You know, I don't know how many, where I was the other day, people were talking about, you know, the degrees they have, you know, and nobody was working in the field that they went to college for. An education will prepare you for a particular field. The Bible prepares you for life. If you receive the Word of God as the Word of God and welcome it into your life, it gives you joy. David said, the man that meditates on the word of God is a blessed man, a happy man. It will give you direction. You will know where to walk. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. It will help you walk in the right direction and keep you from stumbling. It gives you victory in battles. Paul said, it's a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, well, how did Jesus respond each and every time? He quoted Scripture. You cannot grow spiritually without the Word of God being welcomed into your life. Okay, when somebody knocks on your door, you open the door and see who it is. If you're comfortable with them, you welcome them into your house. When you open the Word of God, you read it, you receive it, and you welcome it into your life. It was a young man told a pastor, God, Pastor, I read and read and read the Bible, but I can't remember, you know, I have a hard time remembering what I read. And the pastor told him, said, look, if you take a strainer and you pour water into that strainer and pour water, you're going to end up with very little water. But what you do end up with is a clean strainer. Read the Bible. You'll end up with a clean heart and mind and life. Paul, preaching and teaching the gospel, he believed it. He welcomed to his life. He acted on it, and he thought others should hear it and know about Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And for that, he was beaten. I don't know how many times he was imprisoned over and over and over, and finally ended up dying for his faith. The word of God may work in you, and you acting on it may anger some people, reading it and living by it, especially people that do not live by it, because people that don't live by it don't like people that do. Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. If the Bible is boring to you, if you have a hard time reading it, maybe it's because you don't really know the author of it. And I'm not talking about the men that put it on paper. Get to know the author, and you'll love the words that he gave us. And if you don't know him, he's here today. All you have to do is say, yes, God, and welcome him into your life. But do it this day. Don't wait until tomorrow. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day. Lord God, be with each and every one of us. That this day and every day, Father, Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our life, most holy God. Lord God, that we can read your word, receive it, and act on it. But we welcome your word, your presence into our life. In your son's holy and life-giving name, amen.